As we begin this afternoon, please think, for the sake of all sentient beings throughout all of space, who are limitless in number as space is limitless in extent, I will achieve the state of a completely enlightened Buddha. In order to do that, I will exert myself at listening to, contemplating the meaning of, and meditating upon the excellent Dharma. Turning your minds towards supreme perfect enlightenment in that way, please listen. The stage of the excellent Dharma that is to be explained this afternoon is taken from the 18th chapter of Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the middle way called Wisdom. Nagarjuna, who was prophesied by the Buddha, who was foretold by the Buddha as the one who would overcome the wrong views of existence and non-existence. This chapter is the examination of self and dharmas. This 18th chapter replies to and comments upon a passage from Sutra that says, form is empty of I and mine. Last one. The reason why this chapter of Nagarjuna's treatise on the middle way is devoted to the examination of self and dharmas is that the conception of a personal self and the conception of a self of dharmas is the root and basic cause of all other problems and faults. And so, for that reason, this chapter presents the selflessness or egolessness of persons and dharmas. For when one has become free from those misconceptions, the conception of a self of persons and the conception of a self of dharmas, one is released from the misery of samsara.
Awesome.
In this 18th chapter, the first four lines say, if the aggregates were me, I would arise and disintegrate. If I were other than the aggregates, I would lack the character of the aggregates. Aggregates translates Tibetan word pungbo. Often we translate it using the Sanskrit word skanda. And where I've written I and me, you could also put self. Awesome.
Karte zogjo pungbo, tsorbo pungbo, dohije pungbo, dozije pungbo, namhije pungbo, te pungbo ngapunde, da imbar chona, kanzak da mune ina, da chang jeva dan jekwa chen dun jorwa ta, da chen jek chen dun jorwa ta, tsam tsam chen tsam tsam hing do ya re. Tisana da chen jek chen dun jorwa ta. Yang pungbo te mangbo imba sana da mangbo dun jorwa. Da mangbo dun jorwa ta. Mangbo dun jorwa ta chong ta. Pungbo nam le yin dun jorwa ke, Da yi na, dene pungpun chenyi, jenga ne som yang, me paran jorwa, so je chong yukare.
Dasam. When one is speaking about the aggregates or skandhas, one is of course speaking about the five skandhas of form, feeling, discrimination, formation, and consciousness. If those five skandhas were me, if those five skandhas or five aggregates were the self, then the self would have the character of the skandhas. And if the self had the character of the skandhas, then just as the skandhas or aggregates have the character of arising and disintegrating, then similarly the self would have the quality of arising and disintegrating. That is to say, sometimes it would arise, sometimes it would be born, at other times it would collapse, it would disintegrate. If, on the other hand, I were other than the aggregates, if the self were other than the aggregates, excuse me, let me back up for a moment. There's another problem that comes from the self and the aggregates being identical, from I and my five skandhas being the same, which is that just as the skandhas are multiple, there are many of them, then the self also would be multiple. That's a consequence of the self and the skandhas, I and these aggregates, being absolutely identical, being the same thing. If, on the other hand, I were something other than the aggregates, then I would not have the character of the five skandhas. I would not have the character of the five aggregates, which in fact I do, such as the quality of arising, disintegrating, and abiding. Awesome.
Pumbunga dadu kelem below the chicken. Pumbunga chicken. Jinji jin batal. Pumbo jinji jin beset, dajukun. Take some.
Young Jasurana?
Pumbunga dai in bar kelem below la. Pumbunga da chicken. Da chicken.
Chicken kai, da, today. The reasoning that has been set forth here can be put in the form of a syllogism. And if it is put in the form of a syllogism, it could be stated this way. The subject, I, arise and disintegrate because the five aggregates are me and the five aggregates arise and disintegrate. Also? If considering further this second alternative about the relationship between me and my five skandhas, if I and my five skandhas are different, if the five skandhas are other than me, then there is no relationship between us at all. That's what it means for them to be other, or for us to be other. It means there's nothing connecting us without relationship. In that case, even the skandhas could not be said to arise, disintegrate, and between arising and disintegrating, abiding. The reason why this is so is that these five skandhas have to be somebody's five skandhas. That's what makes them skandhas, that they are somebody's skandhas. So if there's something completely other than me, then they can't even be that. Lhasa? Now consider all of this in the context of a dream. There would be me in a dream and the skandhas in the dream, the aggregates in the dream. And if the dream me and my dream skandhas were different from one another, if you could take me in the dream and put me over here and take my five skandhas in the dream and put them over there, which is what it would mean for them to be other, then these five skandhas would have no nature at all. Lhasa?
Danyi yoba mayina, daki yoba kalanjur ki sabasamte. Dina, daki ngo yoba mayina, kanzak da ranga ngo mina, ngo meba rangi meba yina, pungso daki yoba yoba kalanjur. Dage wa tini yopa kalan jorte dage wa te da la ra le re che te sa bu do wa
do
ya
The second set of four lines from this chapter says, if I were not present, where would mine be? Because I and mine are at peace, I and mine are not conceived. When the first line says, if I were not present, it means if I, that is to say, the person, that is to say, the self of the person, had no nature, if indeed the self of the person has no nature of its own, then because mine, M-I-N-E, mine has to depend upon me, then in the absence of me, how could there be mine? Lawson?
Dada dagi kewe, kewe ser nganzei nayer zimin yor ki sawa songe.
Lawson? Then again...
Tentar yor sawa tilone.
Lawson? Then again, again the second two lines of this four-line section... Because I and mine are at peace, I and mine are not conceived.
Tetar dada dageve mopo mamek pam dada dageva rangin ji kiva yamati se na dada dageve ti te yurjin narin zimbatang nayirvan zimba nikayang do te me parjo.
Lawson. These last two lines shake out this way. The I and mine in the third line refer to the object that is observed by a consciousness conceiving I and mine. Once it's determined that there is no such object, once that I and mine that appear to consciousnesses conceiving I and mine are found to be non-things, that is to say, are discovered to be naturally at peace, then the subjective consciousness that conceives I and mine has been overcome, and having been overcome, is not present. Thus, because I and mine are at peace, I and mine are not conceived.
Lawson?
To put that in brief, once it is understood that I and mine do not exist, then one is released from thoughts conceiving I and mine.
Awesome. Nanzing ayer and zimi par kangan tome madongo.
The third set of four lines says, one not conceiving I and mine also is not present. Whoever sees without conceiving I and mine, therefore is not seen.
Nanzing da dageva me par tope ngata ngayer zimbe kanza yuna tene da yopan joro hena da me par tope kanza yope da yopan joro hena tilingre ngar zimba dang ngayer ngayer zimba me par thoe da me ba nyin thoe nga ta nga ta nga ta nga da ta da ke wa ma ro par to pe nga ta ngayer zimba me par to pe namjor ba kang yin ba te yang da pong te ni le yin de me zai pe da ge ren yin jin de yo ba ma yin de ten dra wa dan min tong ka za te da ge ren yin de yo ba ma yin de ngar zin ba da ngar yin zin ba me ba kang gen tong we nam jor pe da chang ma tong o dan min tong we da chang ma tong
This third set of four lines replies to the objection that someone might raise to what has been stated previously. Somebody might say, even though you say, there is no I and no mine, no self, no one who is the owner of things. You have to admit that there is someone who realizes that. So that objection has been raised. And in reply, Nagarjuna has said, that the so-called yogin who realizes that I and mine are not present, are not established, do not really exist, is at the same time neither the self nor the aggregates nor something other than them. To put it in brief, one cannot speak of and one cannot see a self who sees that there is no self.
Do dona dandin kin je da madrup yin do damin thon da jang madrup de damin thon da thon na tene ka sa da ye pa chon ye pa
In brief, there is no one, there is no self who sees that there is no one. There is no self who sees that there is no self. If there were a self who saw selflessness, then it would be a self, which would be a problem. So, those who have the pride of thinking, I have seen selflessness, should think about this set of lines very carefully.
Nang dang serur nye da la da 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 ke nyam se na nyevar lembang ga jor hing te ze pe na cheva se hi sa va song.
Awesome. The fourth set of lines says, When the idea that the internal and the external are I and mine, maybe it should say me and mine, when the idea that the internal and the external are me and mine has been exhausted, the immediate causes have been stopped, and because they have been exhausted, birth has been exhausted.
Nang simbe pungbo se du chorwe simbe pungbo tang. Sirur ma zimbe pungbo zugda taro rikza. Sim tang miden ba, chorwe ma zimba. Pungbo nye ta la, rimba yendo. Da tang da gebe. Simbe pungbo la da tang. Ma zimbe pungbo la da gebo. Nyambe. Nyam nin zimbe njikta te se na. Jigsoga
The internal refers to that which is connected with feeling. And the external refers to that which, because it does not have mind, M-I-N-D, is not connected with feeling. And so, internal here is a way of referring to self, me, I. And external is a way of referring to mine, M-I-N-E. The notions of such, of the internal and the external, as me and mine, are the immediate causes that bring about birth in cyclic existence, birth in samsara, because they are constituents of what is known as the view of the transitory collection, which means the mistaken view that considers the impermanent skandhas to be a real self and to be the property of a real self. When that view and these immediate causes of birth in samsara have been consumed or extinguished, exhausted, then there is nothing to bring about birth in samsara. And there is no reason why one would take birth in samsara.
Tharpa karre se traba sauna, leda nyamong separe. Leda nyamong sepa tharpa ina, leda nyamong kane somare. Leda nyamong namdole, leda nyamong kane somare traba sauna, ta namdole, leda nyamong bate, surje mai, surme yizi jim namdole kebare. Namdole, leda nyamong namdole. And the letter Nemo Namdo Lichibaina Namdo de Consensore. Teda Trule Namdo Trubalti in the Sore. Yerpa, Yerpetrupa, Mepetrupa, Mubo, Mumi, La Sope, Truba, Trubalti in the Chibare. To unattend our in a Truba Consore. Trubane, Truba de Condescent Gatu. Trubane, Tongba Nijin Gagwarjo. Trubate tung truba tamje than travel tungba ni gombe gagparjo gagre somebody. That day tarpa you be jim sent him.
Awesome.
Yabudua.
Hey, Yabudua. The next set of four lines says, through the exhaustion of karma and klesha, liberation. Karma and klesha arise from thoughts. They arise from complexity. Complexity is stopped by emptiness. If one wonders, what is liberation? Then this verse explains it. The exhaustion of karma and klesha, karma meaning actions, klesha meaning distorted, afflicted states of mind, the exhaustion of karma and klesha is liberation. So, from what do karma and klesha arise? Karma and klesha arise from thoughts. The thoughts here are explained as thoughts that function inappropriately, improperly, that apply themselves to things incorrectly, inaccurately. That's Dharma song, yeah? From what do such thoughts arise, one might wonder? They arise from complexity. What is complexity? Existence, non-existence, things, non-things. That's complexity. What would stop such complexity? Where would such complexity cease? What could bring it to a halt? Meditation upon the emptiness that is the freedom from complexity brings complexity to an end. Here, then, Nagarjuna has presented and stated the reason that allows one to know that liberation is indeed possible.
Awesome.
So, this verse teaches nirvana and the reason why one must meditate upon emptiness in order to arrive at nirvana. So, please, let's chant this three times. Through the exhaustion of karma and klesha, liberation, karma and klesha arise from thoughts. They arise from complexity. Complexity is stopped by emptiness. Through the exhaustion of karma and klesha, liberation, karma and klesha arise from thoughts. They arise from complexity. Complexity is stopped by emptiness.
Exhaustion of karma and klesha, liberation, karma and klesha arise from thoughts. They arise from complexity. Complexity is stopped by emptiness.
Dago hijang ta jor hing te ri song e. Rami hijang ten bar jo.
The next set of four lines says, designating self and also teaching selfless, the Buddhas also teach neither self nor selfless.
Dago Kijang Tinjur King Cheta Chepertawa Dove Cheto Dago Te Dayo Kijang Sanji Chitemban Jur King Dami Kijang Temban Jur. Jitola Tawal Neba Teda Dogwiche do da me Jijang Tembar Jola Sanje namje dadane Sanje namje dadane damin gami hijanti Durzan chodo churba namla Sanje namje dadang ne Gaz da che ba da me ba Gayang mi che tembar zedo ya
The Buddha taught, Buddhas teach differently on different occasions in accordance with the views and misunderstandings and abilities of their students. For students who are stuck in nihilistic views, the Buddhas have designated or imputed something as a self and said, there is a self, you do exist. Then to others who dwell in the view of this transitory collection, this impermanent collection of five skandhas, is a real, genuine, authentic self. The Buddhists teach selflessness in order to overcome their clinging to this extreme of eternalism. Then, when their students have matured further in teaching to the very best of students, the supreme among students, the Buddhists teach that self does not exist, there is no self, and at the same time, the opposite of that, selflessness, also does not exist. Do you understand? Is that clear? Rinpoche's asking.
Sanje je tangbo le tangbo pala da yu chi ting gubi junsen kar re. Che ta dogpa che do dini da yu par sungpa re. Le jeva ngab sa tang le jumre je ting da yu par sungpa re tangbo. Le tangbo pala. Jeva ngab sa tang le jumre ting pa che do dini da yu par sungpa re.
To whom do the Buddhas teach that self exists? To whom do the Buddhas say, indeed, you do exist, and for what reason? They say it to those who dwell in a nihilistic view and who, on account of that nihilistic view, cannot imagine the possibility of previous lifetimes and lifetimes that will develop in the future. In order to overcome the nihilistic views of beginners, the Buddhas say that there is a self that is the basis or the support for former lifetimes and later lifetimes.
Awesome. Temba ne dani dagan goin de yin so chen gon de jo dagan gon da re yin ga gon se ga mare dag chap dani dagan gon da re
laso
yin mare
laso
kahin se na rang dag da ya bo zo ko gon do
laso
dag ke chom pan yin tin chin zo dag da ya bo zo ko gon do so ba re
laso
ti se na de zo Da yabar tembare. Ta dani da ke yabo kande zona ke wangasela hi le jumde hi ne tene le ngamba pang le zangbo drop chuji nyamni se na tene da yabo zoto gule sombare.
Naso. The reason why So the reason why the Buddhists teach that a self exists to beginners, or the logic that they put forth, is to say, you are your own refuge. You are your own protector. No one else can protect you from yourself. No one else can truly serve as your refuge if you don't take care of yourself. And so they say to beginners, you have to overcome your own faults, and you have to achieve good qualities yourself. No one can do it for you. In other words, they're saying, you have to take care of yourself well. You have to take responsibility for yourself and take care of yourself well. How can you go about doing that? By recognizing the continuity of lifetimes, the actions that will bring about consequences in the future, realizing that there are lifetimes prior to this one and that other lifetimes will follow this one. And recognizing that, you should give up bad actions and you should adopt harmful actions. Excuse me, you should give up bad actions. Let's try that one again. You should give up bad actions and you should adopt good actions. In other words, you should practice the Dharma. So that's what the Buddhists say, and their meaning is you should take good care of yourself. So that is the way things are in this confused, conventional, relative world. It's important to listen to the Dharma and to contemplate what you have heard and to meditate upon what you have understood. And if you do that, then you are doing well by yourself. And if you don't do those things, then you are not doing well by yourself. If you do your own work well, if you do your own studies well, then you will become someone who has good qualities and you will develop prajna. And when you have developed good qualities in prajna, then you can be of assistance to others. You can actually help others. You can actually bring some benefit to others. If you don't do your own work well, if you don't do your own study well, then you won't develop good qualities, and you won't develop your prajna. And if you have not developed either good qualities or prajna, then you cannot do anything of any real benefit for anyone else either. So that's what it means when it says you really should do well by yourself. Listen. If you connect this up with the different philosophical traditions that flourished in India at different times, this teaching that there is a self is intended as a reply to or as a remedy for the nefarious views of a school that's known as the Jangpemba. In Sanskrit, they're called Ayata and Charvaka. Usually translated as something like materialists or nihilists. The term literally means those who have been flung afar, meaning they are completely cast out of human society. Because they say that there is no consequence for the actions that one will perform. There are no former and later lifetimes. They have excluded themselves from the company of civilized people. So, in order to overcome their views, in order to cure people of those bad views, the Buddhists teach that there is a self.
Awesome.
Then, later, the Buddhists teach non-self or selflessness. And why? There are those who consider the five skandhas, the five aggregates, to be a self. They consider there to be a self and that which belongs to a self, I and mine. And because of believing in and holding on to I and mine, experience a great deal of suffering and pain. In order to release them, enable them to achieve release from that suffering, the Buddhists teach that there is no self, that self is not truly existent or truly established.
Also?
Then, later, to students who have developed longing and admiration for the most profound Dharma, that is to say, to the best, the supreme of students, the Buddhists teach that self does not exist, and selflessness, non-self, also does not exist. In other words, neither one of them exists. When teaching that there is neither self nor non-self, the Buddhists are presenting freedom from elaborations or freedom from complexity. In a similar vein, in another treatise, or elsewhere, Nagarjuna said, self, non-self, and so forth, the four, in this piece, where are they? In other words, Nagarjuna was teaching the freedom from elaborations or freedom from complexity. Awesome.
Da dang da me ba ni tu dobre. Da le tu na da me ba ya. Da me ba le tu na da ike ba re. Tu dobi mbe se na da ti ni ma se na da me ba yang si gama re. Ti se na ne lo la da dang da me jitu ba le de ba re. Da dang da me jitu ba le de ba re ten ba de. Ne lo ta tok yo wang de sen su ma re.
Self and non-self, or self and selflessness, lean on one another. They rely upon one another. They depend upon one another. Self depends upon selflessness. Selflessness depends upon self. If there's no self to begin with, then there is no selflessness either. To put it another way, because the Tibetan language includes many meanings in this one term, you can just substitute a very personal pronoun, I and no me, or me and no me. If there's no me, then it doesn't make any sense to talk about, wait. That's hard to say. Don't mean it, don't mean it.
Dig, sorry.
No, don't think it'll help to state it again. It comes out the same way either way. This is on us.
Oh, yeah.
When the Buddhists speak about the absence of self and of no self, when they say there is neither ego nor non-ego, they are speaking about the final nature of things, the ever-present condition of things, which is their ultimate nature. Usung is Subhuti. Subhuti, Rabbi. Usung. Usung said it is.
Devo is. Kashyapa.
Kashyapa.
Okay.
Lassa. Tuche.
Kashyapa, Rabbi.
Honestly.
Rabbi, Kashyapa.
In Sutra, the Buddha taught to one of his students, whose name was Kashyapa. He said, Kashyapa, this so-called self is one extreme, and this so-called selflessness is a second extreme. That which is in the middle of these two extremes is without form and cannot be demonstrated, cannot be shown.
Longjokdar. Yegi laungi gegin kepe tambo yegi rakpate. Tene chava 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 tegi indo sanje jeje tambo rakpa rakpate. Tene chava chava tebar.
In another sutra, the unfolding of the Buddha's teaching is compared to the way in which someone would teach another how to make the letters of an alphabet. In the beginning, it's satisfactory if a student can make the letters in a very rough way. The teacher will be satisfied with that and will teach a very coarse way of writing the letters. Later, the teacher demands that the student write the letters in a more refined way. This is an example for the way in which the Buddhas teach sentient beings. At first, they teach rather coarse views. Later, they teach something very subtle. And for that reason, there are very many different ways of presenting the Dharma of the Buddha.
Tatsawa
la justa. Sabare. Jibarsava Dopaterbe.
Semchi Dopesare.
Semchi Toyo Dopeso.
Machipada Mangaba Chininyang in Data.
Alas.
Nay, Draven and Tosi Herwa.
This
is Chela Yumri.
Draven
and Savasasi.
Nasin. The next four lines say, that which is to be expressed is turned back, because the object upon which the mind operates is turned back. Unborn and unstopped, like Dharmata and Nirvana.
Devalama. Nelong Tatoba Joysal and the Abad, Joysal and Dogwa. It's a kidney to me.
Ah,
it's a
company. Awesome.
A chicken, a woman, the Laguna. Machi Pada Manga, but you need young in the dance. Junsin Chi is a Joysal and Dona, Chutam de Domani. Dumani, Tanguni, Yeni, Jeva Mabata. Jeva Mabe, Gakwa Maba, Chini, Yimba Tisena, Yangin de Dang Tong. Ne look de Yangil and de Badan Songbare, Datok Yor Mabeso, Datok Yol and Depe, Tene, Rangin and de Dang Songbare, Chutam Tijene.
Where the root verses say, that which is to be expressed, is referring to that which is to be taught ultimately, for what is to be taught ultimately, the nature of things, is what one is trying to express, the actual ongoing condition of things. And yet, though one tries to express them, words fail, that is to say, they are turned back. And in fact, nothing whatsoever can be expressed about it. Why is that? Why is it that words fail? Because mind cannot possibly comprehend this object. Here the word for mind is the word sem, S-E-M. Mind is not capable of understanding this basic nature. And any object that mind, reality transcends any object upon which the mind can operate, upon which mind can work with. In that way, one has to say that all dharmas whatsoever are primordially, from the very beginning, unborn and unstopped, unstoppable. That is their reality. That is their basic nature, here called dharmata, that they are unborn and at the same time unstopped or unstoppable. In that way, all dharmas are like nirvana itself, the state that is beyond all misery. In that way, these lines of verse point to the natural nirvana that is present primordially in all dharmas, and which is beyond all terms, expressions, words, and thoughts. The next set of four lines begins with one line that says, all are authentic, not authentic. And these two, again, refer to different phases, different stages of presenting the teaching. Initially, in order to lead those who are of dull faculties, gradually, to the Buddhist teaching, one teaches that the skandhas, the five aggregates, the dhatus, the different elements in the makeup of the person, the ayatanas, which is to say the 12 faculties that are involved in the process of perception and so on, are real, that they are true, that they do indeed exist. And then later, it's said that they do not exist. So first, it's said that all of these, the skandhas and so forth, are authentic. And later, it is said that they are not authentic, they are not real. The purpose of saying that they are not authentic is to enable those who have come to consider the skandhas and so forth as authentic, genuine realities, and who have become trapped by that view, to abandon, to discard, to cast off that view. So, having taught that all are authentic, one then teaches that they are not authentic. And as it says, this is to be presented gradually to those who have somewhat dull faculties.
Yanda yanda mai ni sombare. Te garwa pa ma se do songzor de wang bon de la songzor. Yanda ke ba te thani sam do yang da ba dang. Te khona ni do yang da ba mai no hi. Tem ba ta.
The next line says authentic and not authentic. Now, in the previous stage of presenting the teaching, it was said to those who are somewhat dull, first of all, that things are authentic, and later, that they are not. Those who have somewhat sharper abilities would see a contradiction there. In order to explain that apparent contradiction to them, the next stage of the teaching presents to those who have somewhat middle level of abilities the notion that conventionally speaking, things are authentic, but that in reality, in suchness, in the very nature of things, they are not authentic. So, to those of somewhat middle-level abilities, in order to overcome the apparent contradiction, it said authentic and not authentic. In other words, some things, in other words, conventionally things are authentic, but in reality they are not. Awesome.
Yanda mimi yanda mei heba ta wangbo rabla trupa coin service serdo chedo yang takwa yanda mimba yang meila yang takwa yang mei ki thoma ni mei ki trupa tang trave chini tendo sene trada temba wangbo rabla.
Then the third line here presents the teaching that is given to those who are of the very best faculties, who have the best abilities. Here it said, the not authentic are not, and the authentic are not, which means what has previously been said not to exist authentically or genuinely, in fact, does not exist authentically and genuinely. And moreover, even those things that previously have been said to exist authentically and genuinely also do not exist authentically or genuinely. So here, right at the start, for the very best students, the view that is free from all extremes, from all elaborations, and from all complexity is presented right off. Lawson?
Tena sanje ji tenbao. Teta bu tenso tena sanje je durza simjin je lo dang chambara wangbo turbo dan deng dang wangbo rabla gong de lo dang chambara jisu tenbaam.
Finally, this verse says, this is what the Buddha taught, which means that the Buddha taught in accordance with the minds of sentient beings. The Buddha taught in a way that follows the pattern of sentient beings, their abilities, their mental faculties, whether they are dull or at a middle level or extremely sharp, and so leads them along in stages gradually to the highest view. Russell? So let's chant all eight sets of verses. If the aggregates were me, I would arise and disintegrate. If I were other than the aggregates, I would lack the character of the aggregates. If I were not present, where would mine be? Because I and mine are at peace, I and mine are not conceived. One not conceiving, I and mine also is not present. Whoever sees without conceiving, I and mine therefore is not seen. When the idea that the internal and the external are I and mine has been exhausted, the immediate causes have been stopped, and because they have been exhausted, birth has been exhausted. Through the exhaustion of karma and klesha, liberation, karma and klesha arise from thoughts. They arise from complexity. Complexity is stopped by emptiness. Designating self and also teaching selfless,
The Buddhas also teach neither self nor selfless. That which is to be expressed is turned back, because the object upon which the mind operates is turned back, unborn and unstopped, like Dharmata and Nirvana. All are authentic, not authentic, authentic and not authentic. The not authentic are not, and the authentic are not. This is what the Buddha taught.
So I've taught now 8 of the 12 verses that make up this 18th chapter, and in the final session I'll teach the remaining 4 sets of verses. The reason for doing it this way is if you try to present too much, then everybody gets tired and then they don't understand. There are 27 chapters in Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the Middle Way called Wisdom. Among those 27, this 18th chapter, the examination of self and dharmas, is quite possibly the essence of it all. And so it's extremely important, after I've given you all 12 of these sets of verses, recite them 108 times. And when you've recited them 108 times, you may find that you understand emptiness and that you've realized the emptiness that is the nature of persons and the emptiness that is the nature of dharmas. I'm not saying that it will definitely come about, but it's possible. The teaching on emptiness and the way to meditate upon emptiness is presented in a series of 5 different stages. Among those, 2 of the 5 stages are the views of emptiness that are expressed by the Svatantrika or autonomy school and the Prasangika or consequence school. Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the Middle Way is the root for both the Svatantrika or autonomy and Prasangika or consequence school. Moreover, for one who wishes to meditate in the view of Mahamudra or in the view of Mahasandhi, the great completeness and the great seal, this view of the Prasangika or consequence school is crucial and vital. And since the view of the consequence or Prasangika school is vital for anyone who hopes to practice Mahamudra or Mahasandhi, this text, Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the Middle Way, is also of critical importance. Okay, do you have any questions? 10 minutes.
Rinpoche, it says in the first stanzas that the aggregates arise and disintegrate, how does that happen? What's the process?
When it's said that the skandhas or aggregates arise and disintegrate, this text is speaking of the way in which phenomena come into being through or as an assembly of dependently related causes and conditions. In other words, through the interaction of causes and conditions, through the force of that, phenomena arise and disintegrate. If this is examined in a very subtle way, then what's meant is that things don't last for even a second moment. They arise in one moment and they disintegrate as soon as they arise. They don't even make it as far as a second moment. It's like the tip of a flame. The tip of a flame doesn't last from one moment to the next moment. It's like snapping one's fingers. The sound is generated and doesn't even make it to a second moment. It's gone right away. However, there is a continuity through the connection of one moment to another, which is to say, even though nothing manages to last, even for 2 moments, it cannot even abide as long as 2 moments. It disintegrates in the very instant in which it arises. Still, if one considers the continuity, such as the continuity of a flame, the first moment is followed by a second, the second by a third, and so on. And thus, there is a continuity, a stream, so to speak, in which the earlier moments serve as a support and the latter moments arise in dependence upon them. So there is some sense of things having this sort of fragmented continuity of being broken up into moments that themselves don't last at all.
So.
if one considers the five aggregates or five skandhas, they are multiple. There are five. And then if one examines these five, then there is no limit to what one comes up with as to how much there is. The five are not just five single things, but each one of them has many, many, many internal components. And if one analyzes this very, very subtly and pursues this, one comes to the point of seeing that the five skandhas themselves, no matter how finely one investigates it, cannot be found to exist inherently or by way of their own nature. Thus, when one looks into the five skandhas, one finds that they are neither one nor many. They are beyond being single or multiple. If one takes the analysis to the limit, one discovers that things are not inherently present. They do not exist by way of their own nature. It's like that. So, I have to abbreviate the question period today because there's some other work that I have to do now. But in the last session, there are only four verses to cover, and therefore we can spend much more time on questions.
Sunam Gewande, Jewo Gwen, Sunam Yeshi, Tozo de Sunam Yeshi, Tamba Guni, Toparasho, Major Lembo, Kuya Tashi, Yena Tokyo, Songi Tashi, Tata Teme, Tokyo Tashi, Jarva, Kusun Toja Tashi, Nender, Nimo Dele, Sinde, Nime Konyan Dele, Nimsin Tado Dele, Kunjo Songe Tashi.
May all attain on this May the birth of the ocean, the sun, the free all beings, all the things in the world, the sun, the great east, may the lotus garden, the radiance, wisdom, bloom, may the happy, nervous, ascension beings, Jesus, help, may all.